Luke chapter 19. And our text for this evening is there in that verse 5. Verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, that is where Zacharias was, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. The story of Zacchaeus, the little man who climbed up into a sycamore tree to see the Lord Jesus, is a story that's very well known. I would believe that every child in Sabbath school is familiar with the story of Zacchaeus, and how, because he was small of stature, he had heard the Lord was passing by that way, he climbed up into a sycamore tree that he might look down and see the stranger of Galilee. But while the meeting between Christ and Zacchaeus is something that is well known, it is also something that's very unique. There's something about this story regarding the Lord and Zacchaeus that you do not read about anywhere else in the public ministry of Christ. Unique because of J.C. Ryle has pointed out, quoting him, this is the only case in the Gospels in which we find our Lord offering himself uninvited to be a man's guest. Everywhere else the Lord was invited into homes, but not this time. The Lord, as it were, invited himself, and it's the only time we find that in the Gospels. And this reminds us of the words of the prophet Isaiah, as quoted by the apostle Paul, when he said, I was found of them that sought me not. Romans 10, verse 20. And so the uniqueness of the circumstances leading up to and surrounding this meeting between Christ and Zacchaeus surely deserves our attention. For that reason alone, it's unique. But not only for its uniqueness, but once again, the Lord uses the word must. And here he comes to the sycamore tree where Zacchaeus was, and the Lord looked up and said to Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today, not tomorrow, today, I must abide at thy house. So once again, we have before us another one of the musts of the Master. I want to consider this incident that involved another must of the Master. I want first of all to consider the direction of the Master. A few weeks ago, you recall that we considered the words of the Lord when he said that he must go through Samaria. John 4, verse 3. That was because it was his plan and his purpose to meet with the woman of Samaria there at Jacob's well, where she had come to draw water. And the Lord said he must go through Samaria for the purpose of meeting with that woman and bringing to her salvation. Now the Lord Jesus is on another journey. You look there in the opening verse of our chapter 19. There we read, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. He entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And so there we have the direction of the Master. He entered and he passed through Jericho. He's on his way to the cross, of course, at the Calvary. But he must enter Jericho and pass through. He must take this road, because he had to meet with Zacchaeus. And he had to be in his house. Today I must abide at thy house. So here we have then, regarding the Lord's direction, we have here his path. Here we could say that the Savior must needs go through Jericho, because along that road the Lord intended to meet with Zacchaeus. So this was no chance meeting. This was not a chance meeting. This was no accidental encounter. Not at all. The Lord entered Jericho, passed through Jericho, and he met with this man Zacchaeus, and he said, I must abide at thy house. And since the Lord planned to abide in the house of Zacchaeus, that meant he must needs go through Jericho. Obviously, this man was one of the Lord's chosen, because that meeting brought about this man's salvation. This man Zacchaeus became a trophy of grace. And the Lord must needs go through Jericho, and he must needs go into the house of Zacchaeus. And through that meeting and his entering into the house of Zacchaeus, this man got saved. This man was given the gift of salvation. And when the Savior said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house, it was there in that man's house that Christ would make himself known to Zacchaeus. After all, we are told he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And so we're told then in the verse 3, he didn't know Christ. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. So he obviously didn't know the Lord. He didn't know who he was. Well, the purpose of the Lord Jesus that day was to remedy that situation. If Zacchaeus didn't know who Christ was, the Lord was about to reveal himself to him. And he said he must abide at the house of Zacchaeus. Just as Paul said in Romans 10 verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Zacchaeus hadn't believed. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Zacchaeus didn't know anything about Christ. He ran ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to find out who this man was. But the fact that the Lord went that way and came to that sycamore tree and looked up and said to Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. The Lord was going to abide in his house that he might reveal himself to Zacchaeus and give to Zacchaeus the gift of salvation. So you see the reason for the must. He must meet with Zacchaeus. He must abide in his house. And he must give him the gift of salvation. Why? Because Zacchaeus was one of the Lord's chosen. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. So we have his path. Next we have his purpose. Long before the Lord would enter and pass through Jericho, the Lord knew that he would meet with this man along the way. We've already pointed out this was no accidental encounter. The Lord knew that he would meet with Zacchaeus. The Lord knew where he would find him. The Lord knew that he would enter his house and make himself known unto him. And this must of the Master reveals to us his divine purpose. It was to meet with this man and to save his soul and to give him the gift of salvation. That's what that must is all about. For not only must the Lord enter the man's house, the Lord must enter the man's heart. And that's what the Lord would do that day. Not only enter his heart, his house, but he'd enter his heart. Zacchaeus was one of those of whom Paul spoke about. He turned to Ephesians. And this is what this must is all about. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, so according to the good pleasure of his will. Of his will. Notice that. His will. God's will. And so whenever the Lord Jesus came to that sycamore tree and called Zacchaeus to come down and said, I must abide at thy house, the Lord was revealing to Zacchaeus his will. Because this man Zacchaeus was one of those of whom Paul spoke, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He was one of the Lord's chosen. He must have been, because he got saved. He must meet with Christ. Now, dear believer, tonight, you also, and I, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. Before God, our maker and our creator, made anything, he chose us. In Christ, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Now when and where you and I met him and came to know him, I know where I met him. I know where I came to know him. I know where that must of the Master was realized in my life, 5th of May 1969, on a Monday evening at approximately 9:30. In Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church. That's where the must was realized in my life. It was as if the Lord, in his plan and purpose, said, I must meet with that man. And he met me that night. And he must meet with Zacchaeus. And he met him that day at the sycamore tree. And said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I must abide at thy house. And then the Lord said, he's one of my chosen. Therefore, the Lord was saying, I must lift him out of his sin. I must save his soul. I must reveal myself unto him as his Savior. So when and where that must took place in your life, well, you know where it was. You know where you got saved. In your house, or maybe God's house, or maybe somewhere else. That's where that must was realized in your life. when the Lord met you and it was a must. Because you had already been chosen, and then you need to know Christ as your Savior, according to his will. We've seen the path and the purpose. Next we see the person. Look at the words of the first two verses. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man. There was a man. But wait a minute. There was a multitude of people. A multitude of people were following the Lord Jesus and had followed him through Jericho and through Jericho and out the other side of Jericho. And they were following a multitude of people, and yet it says, and behold, there was a man. And so the Lord's attention was there upon one person, upon one man, out of a multitude of people. The Lord had his attention on one man, and that one man, the Lord said to that one man, I must abide at thy house. Nobody else but that one man. And the Lord must abide in that man's house and enter his heart in salvation. Now there was a crowd there, as I said, a multitude of people following the Lord Jesus. But the Lord looked upon Zacchaeus alone. There was Zacchaeus, chosen out of a multitude of people. And the Lord didn't say to anybody else, I'm going to buy in your house or your house or your... No, one man. Make haste and come down. I must abide at your house. You turn to John chapter 5. We have a similar happening in John 5. The Lord Jesus passing by the pillar of Bethesda. Look there in John chapter 5 and verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Five, the number of grace. And grace visited a man that day at the pool of Bethesda. In these lay, mark the words, a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Because an angel would come down and touch the water at a certain time of the year, and the first person into the water in the pool of Bethesda would be healed of their infirmity. Look at verse 5. And a certain man was there. See? We're told that in verse 2, and there at the in Jerusalem by the sheep market, a great market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches, and in these lay a great multitude, a multitude of impotent folk. But then we come to verse 5, and a certain man was there. And so out of the multitude of folk that was there, the Lord's eyes were fixed upon one man. Verse 6, and Jesus saw him. Out of a multitude of people, there at the pool of Bethesda, the Lord saw him, one man. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been not long time in that case, and saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? See, the Lord knew all about it. The Lord knew the man was there. The impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. And that's what he did. And an instant he was healed and his life was changed. The Lord fixed his eyes upon one man. And out of the great multitude of impotent folk, he changed one man's life. Now some might say, here's a multitude of people at the pool of Bethesda. Why didn't the Lord heal them all? Why didn't he touch every one of them? Why did the Lord, out of the teeming millions of Adam's fallen race, why did he pluck us out of our sin? Why did he choose us to be his people? Why did he choose us unto salvation? Why did he single us out? As he singled Zacchaeus out, and he singled out that man at the pool of Bethesda. That's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery. Do you ever think about it? Do you ever think about that mystery? Why the Lord chose you and I? It'll always be a mystery. Why the Lord set his love upon us. Out of the teeming mass of Adam's fallen children, the Lord chose us and basically said, I must abide in thy heart. I must enter thy life. I must be thy Savior. And thou must be my child. And that is a mystery that you and I never saw. And why out of the teeming multitudes of souls all around us did the Lord fix his eyes upon us and say, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house, or I must abide in thy heart. What a story salvation is. They considered the direction of the Master. Let us look at the determination of the Master. That word, determination, we could use it in every one of the messages dealing with the must of the Master. Because when the Lord said, I must, I must, I must, it speaks of his determination. It tells us he's not going to stop. Nobody's going to stand in his way to fulfill his purpose. And so when he said to Zacchaeus that day, today I must abide at thy house, that meant he was determined to do so. He was determined, no matter what, no matter what, I must. Because that day was bringing to Zacchaeus the gift of salvation. The determination of the Master that speaks to us regarding Zacchaeus here speaks to us of the Lord's compassion, his love, his compassion. The fact that the Lord said, I must abide at thy house, shows us that he loved this man. He must. How else can we explain it? How else can we explain the Lord saying to Zacchaeus, what was it? He was a publican. What's a publican? A tax collector, a tax gatherer. In the Lord's days of his public ministry, tax collectors were the most despised and hated individuals on the face of the earth. Why? Because he was a man who worked for a foreign power, the Romans. And he would go around and gather in the taxes for a foreign power, a people that the Jewish people despised. And he would go and gather their taxes, and as we will see in a moment or two, kept a lot of it for himself. And people would not have cultivated his acquaintance. They wouldn't want anything to do with this man Zacchaeus, because he was a hated individual. He would have been a lonely man because nobody wanted to go to his house. Nobody wanted to make friends with a publican. You remember how often the Pharisees criticized the Lord because he would go to be a guest at the house of a man who was a publican. They couldn't believe it, that Christ would have anything to do with publicans. And people would not go and visit this house of Zacchaeus. Ah, but the Lord did. Does that not tell us something? Does that not tell us something about the compassion that Christ had for this man Zacchaeus? Everybody else hated him. Everyone else would have despised him. He possibly would not have had a friend in all of Jericho. But Christ befriended him that day. And the Lord demonstrated his compassion or his love for Zacchaeus when nobody else would enter his house, yet Christ said, "Today I must abide at thy house." And while others hated Zacchaeus, here is evidence in that word "must." Here is evidence that Christ loved him. Christ's heart was drawn towards him. Here was the must of love and compassion. He must pass through Jericho. He must meet this man called Zacchaeus. Why? Because he loved him. He must come to that sycamore tree and meet that man there. Why? Because he loved him. He must stop beneath that sycamore tree and look up and say to that man, "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Why? Because he loved him. He had a love for him. He must speak to that man, even though very few others would. Why? Because Christ loved him. And beneath that same sycamore tree, the Lord cried out, "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And it was all because he loved him. He loved him when perhaps no one else would. But then, that's who the Lord is. He loves the unlovely. He loves the unlovable. That's who he is. When a leper came to the Lord Jesus, what a leper. If we only fully understood what people thought of lepers in the days of the Lord's public ministry. If a leper was seen walking down the street, people walking in the other direction, they would stop and turn around and go another way around. They wouldn't walk down the same street a leper would. And there were the leper colonies And the lepers would live in those colonies, and people would bring food out to them and leave it in a certain place. And after they would leave the food, they would go away, and then the lepers would come out of living in a cave, perhaps. Nobody wanted anything to do with a leper. And yet one day we read of a leper who came to Christ and listened. And Jesus moved with compassion. His heart went out to him. He was moved with compassion, put forth his hand. What? And touched him. According to the ceremonial law, a leper was not to be touched. He touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. Mark 1 verse 41. Think of it. A leper who people would avoid. Children would run away from him. But not Christ. We're told the Lord was moved with compassion. You take that word compassion. The word means to be moved as to one's inwards. It means to yearn with compassion. So when Christ saw this leper, he was moved with compassion. He yearned with compassion after that leper. He must, if you like, he must reach out his hand and touch him because he loved him. He was moved with compassion. Christ looked upon the leper and loved him. Was compelled to put forth his hand and touch him. Likewise, Zacchaeus might as well have been a leper. He might as well have been a leper as far as the people, the Jewish people, were concerned. He might as well have been a leper for all that the people cared about him. But Christ demonstrated that love and demonstrated that compassion when he called out to him, make haste, come down, today I must abide at thy house. Nobody else would have done that but the Lord Jesus alone. Why did he love us? Christ could see in us all our filthiness and our rottenness and our corruption and our depravity. Bible teaches the doctrine of total depravity. And there are those who tell us, oh, well, there's a little bit of goodness in everyone. There's a little spark of goodness in everybody. No, there is not. Not according to God's word. No goodness in any one of them. So why did Christ love us? Why did he demonstrate his love for Zacchaeus? He did that day when he said, I must abide at thy house. That was the must of compassion. Not only do we have his compassion, we also have his call. So Zacchaeus had run ahead of the crowd and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Verse 4. And when the Savior came to that place, he looked up and issued his call. There in the verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Mark the words. He looked up, and he saw him. the Lord. After all, Zacchaeus was up in a tree. The Lord could easily have walked past him and not even have seen him. But the Lord must speak with him. The Lord must abide in this house. The Lord must enter this man's heart and enter this man's life. The Lord must give him the gift of salvation. There was no way the Lord would pass him by. No, sir. The multitude may have passed him by. Not the first time. When Bartimaeus cried out, the crowd told him to be quiet. And the Lord, or Bartimaeus, cried out, "All the more, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." And we're told the Lord stood still. It's interesting. If the must of the Master is an interesting study, it's also an interesting study to look at the number of times we read about the Lord standing still. He stood still. The crowd told him to be quiet. But no, the Lord would not be passing him by. And the Lord would not be passing by Zacchaeus. He knew where he was. He must meet with Zacchaeus. He must abide at his house. And believer, are we not glad tonight that the Lord didn't pass us by? Where would we be tonight if the Lord passed us by and completely ignored us and showed no love, compassion, or time for us at all? We'd be lost. Maybe in hell already. He loved us from all eternity. So it would be a must. It would be a must that he would meet with us and not pass us by. He called Zacchaeus out of the tree. He called Saul of Tarsus along the side of a road. He called and met with Legion. Where? In a graveyard. The Lord must cross over to the land of Gadara. He must meet with Legion. He must save him. Once only visit to Gadara. Never was back again. But he must enter that ship that day with his disciples and cross over and meet with Legion and deal with him there and save his soul there and made him an evangelist. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And he returned back to Galilee. Late pastor Willie Mullen, man I greatly admire, loved to hear him preach. Windsor Avenue Baptist Church in Lurgan. Pastor Mullen was a dynamite before the Lord saved him. He met up with a gang of boys and they lived in an old broken down house in Newton Arch. One day a young fella came around that area and he slipped an invitation to a gospel mission under the door. And Willie saw it, picked it up, and he happened to see the young fella a few days later. And he said, "Oh, see, you're having a mission. I'll maybe go along some night." Willie said, "I have no intention of going. I'll maybe go along some night." The young fella said, "Is that right? Well, I'll come for you and I'll pick you up and we'll go together." And that sort of took Willie Mullen's breath away. But he went, and that night the preacher preached on the judgment of God. And Willie got out of that meeting, "Hell, I'll never be back there." And sometime later, he was in the middle of a field. He was planning on robbing a house, a farmhouse in the country, and he was in the middle of a field. As he made his way over to this house, and Willie Mullen says in his testimony, he says, I stopped and said, what about this day of wrath? What about this day of wrath? The word that had been preached was a living word and lived on in Willie's heart. And that day, in the middle of a field, he got saved. And in his testimony, he says, I got out of that field and walked along the road. And he says, I saw a man coming along the road and went over to him. He said, do you know something? I met the Lord in the field there. And he says, the man got away over to the other side of the road, thought he was mad. And then he went a bit further and he saw another man who he knew was a brethren man. And he told the brethren man the same thing. And the brethren man encouraged him. William Mullen met the Lord in a field. Legion met the Lord in a graveyard. Paul met the Lord at the side of the road. It was a must. It was a must that the Lord would meet with us wherever it may be, that he might give us the gift of salvation. So it was a must for us to meet the Savior. It was a must for us to be given the gift of salvation, since we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We had to meet Christ. Press on quickly. We have his compassion, his call, and his critics. We said that when the Lord said must in his public ministry, it was our point was his determination. Well, the Lord was determined to meet with Zacchaeus, and he was determined to abide in his house. Because he said that. He said, I must. And nothing was going to stop the Lord. His critics. Look at verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. And the original of those words may be rendered, the man was a sinful man. That's how it was put. He's gone to be a guest with a sinful man. That seems to put more force to it. Gone to be with a sinful man. And they criticized. Oh, they didn't criticize the Lord for being a guest in the house of Mary and Martha and Joseph and Lazarus. But when the Lord was going to be a guest in the house of Zacchaeus, they criticized him. Ah, but that's where the Lord's must come in. He didn't care what the critics said. He didn't care what the people thought. And they had no time for Zacchaeus. And they hated the man because of what he was. And he didn't have very many friends, but Christ became his friend that day. And the Lord didn't care what the people thought of him, because I must abide at thy house. I must give you the gift of salvation. His love for sinners went further and deeper than the cutting words of any critic. We have a wonderful Savior. And what his critics said about him just simply emphasized the love that Christ has for sinners. He's the friend of publicans and sinners. And he went to be a guest in the house of a sinful man. As I said, that just emphasizes his love for sinners. That's all. The direction of the Master, the determination of the Master, the deliverance by the Master. How wonderfully did that must of the Master bring deliverance to Zacchaeus, change his life forever. I must abide at thy house. See, first of all, the reception. We're told in verses 6 and 7, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured against, all murmured saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner, going to be a guest with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus received Christ. He received him. And what a change that must of the Master brought to the life of this man, as well as to his home, as well as to his heart. Before, he had no place for Christ, either in his heart or in his home. But now he does. Now he does. You know something? When the Lord said, "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." The word "abide" means to dwell. To dwell in thy house. And the Lord, or Zacchaeus, made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And we're told then in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I have given to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it him fourfold." He had received the Lord into his heart. He had received the Lord into his life. He received the Lord into his home. And the Lord dwelt there. See, that's what happens. When you come to know the Lord, you don't want the Lord to leave. You look over in John 4, when the Samaritans came to the Lord, and many of them believed, we're told they didn't want him to leave. And he abode with them 2 days. Didn't want them, want the Savior to leave. When you know Christ, you don't want him to leave. And all who know Christ, well, we can say, he'll never leave us, nor forsake us. He'll never leave. That was the must of reception, was the must of his rejoicing. We're told he received him joyfully. Joyfully. And that must of the Master brought joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8, that word "unspeakable" means unable to be told. Zacchaeus had a joy that was unable to be told, all because of the must of the Master. His reception, his rejoicing, his restitution. We read there in the verse 8, he came and he told the Lord. First thing, isn't it interesting? The first thing he said, when he spoke to the Lord after receiving the Lord, first thing he said was, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." That was sure evidence and proof that the man was saved. He wanted to put things right with those people he had taken money from. He had stolen money. He was a tax gatherer and he wanted to put it right. Here's a trophy of grace. A trophy of grace. Oh, because Christ said, "Make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And we see what that must of the Master brought to the life of Zacchaeus. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Let us pray. Our dear Lord, we rejoice in what Christ did for Zacchaeus. Sure, it's always good to read and indeed to hear about the Lord saving souls. We can honor amen And we hear the news of a soul being saved. And Lord, here we see this trophy of grace. This man who would have been despised and hated by his fellow man because of his job, tax gatherer, hated of all, but not by Christ. And that day he showed that. His love for Zacchaeus. And he said, I must abide at thy house. Lord, again we pray, write the word upon the fleshly tables of our heart. That we think about what the Lord did for Zacchaeus and what he has done for us. Be with us, Lord, throughout this week. Again, Lord, keep thy good hand, guiding, protecting hand upon us all. Heal the sick. And bless us, Lord, we pray in our going out and coming in. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.